Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is actually a special one, which is funny because this is also episode 13. So if things go, we've already had problems. It's clear we should have skipped this episode, actually.
No, it's the baker's dozen.
I forgot my donuts, damn it.
Oh, I forgot my donuts too.
You know what? We're going to have to do it tonight then.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to go get some donuts and some wine. That'll be an epic combination.
It's great. Well, I say it's a special edition because we've already had technical difficulties, but we do have a guest on.
Yes, this is my wonderful, lovely boss from Action Trip, our editor-in-chief, Uroš Pavlovich.
Wow, thanks, guys. What an introduction. And I'm actually amazed, Carrie, that you managed to pronounce my name successfully.
I did take Russian for 2 years in college, so I do kind of have a little bit of that down.
It's a nice, version. And I guess thanks, Chris, for having me. I don't know what to say about the number 13, though. I don't know how that's going to affect what we're about to do. I know it's just kind of, it goes in line with everything else that's been happening in my life, basically a jinx.
And we're starting off very upbeat.
Yeah, seriously, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to all the things we're about to discuss because I actually, everything like we planned is really interesting me, so yeah, we'll take it away.
Well, this week's topic of the week is something that Chris and Uroš are really into because they're weird, and that is Bloodborne and masochistic games. I got nothing to say on this because I don't enjoy dying over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I just see an update about like you having a really rough time with a particular game by Pillars of Eternity.
Okay.
You're still playing
it? Because I found out I was not having fun. I was getting frustrated, and I was getting pissed off, and then I found out I was playing the game wrong. And now that I understand like what I was doing wrong, I'm having a much better time of it.
It takes a bit of time, yeah, I think.
It's been a long time since I played a game like that. The last CRPG I played was Baldur's Gate. You know how long ago that was, and we've all heard the story about how I snapped my fifth disc because it didn't work. So it's been that long. So I've forgotten that with those types of games, you can't just barrel through to try to get to it. So, but we'll get more into that in a minute. So Uroš, unfortunately, has not played Bloodborne yet because Europe just got it yesterday, and apparently Serbia is a third world country, so they haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure out ways to get it. Chris has, and...
Well, can you... you can switch on the PS4. I just found this out. You can do a region switch, create another PSN, like just do another account on your
PSN.
That's
what he's in the process of...
It's going to be a bit of a hassle, though, because every time... you basically just switch to a different account, to a different region, to a different address, and then you switch back when you download the games and you switch back, right, to your own account, and then you play. So, yeah but it turns out to be the only solution, yep.
Well, because Serbia doesn't get the love.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But I will say, Chris, he downloaded the game that morning. And these are the IMs that I got from him when he started playing. After he said, the game's finished, peace out, bitches. He then said, he's like, well, fuck, I died in the first 5 minutes. And then 2 hours later, it was, I just lost 2,000 shards. Like, oh, is that supposed to mean something to me? He's like, shut up! He disappeared the rest of the day.
Oh, awesome.
And I never recovered those fucking echoes either. God, I was too... but you're so early in the game, 2 grand is a lot.
I was just gonna ask. I mean, at this stage, like, how can you determine how far you're even into the game?
Usually you do it just by bosses. Kind of like what we did with the Souls games. I beat this boss, so I know I'm about this far in. And then, you know, as you unlock areas, it's kind of how you determine how far you are.
Right.
So, Yeah, there's no real progression. It's from software, so you don't have a nice little linear kind of storyline. You just go around exploring. I love the setting of Bloodborne, though. It's pretty awesome. So it's a lot of fun exploring it, actually.
What's the atmosphere like?
It's like a old school London. It almost feels like London has been taken over by a plague, because as you're walking around, the environmental sounds on this game are amazing, because you're walking along and you'll have some of the monsters dragging like a giant axe or a sword behind them, and you can just hear it just dragging across the ground. You got people coughing and sneezing all over the place. You knock on various doors and people are telling you to get the hell out of there, away from them. They don't want to be there. There's all kinds of, there's bell towers going off every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually sounds pretty cool.
It's a very, the weapons are very steampunkish as far as the guns and that kind of thing go. Mm-hmm. Walking around in a nice big trench coat, top hat, which is pretty awesome.
So this is like a better PS4 exclusive with Victorian steampunk? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, probably. Kind of.
Order 1886 kind of failed?
Well, there's definitely a lot more to do in this game than there was in the Order.
Just say yes, Chris.
Well, Chris is actually borrowing my copy of the Order, because I platinumed in it, so I don't need to play it again. So when he came and visited me, I just loaned him my copy.
Okay. So how many hours a day are you playing?
I've only got in, I don't know, I think 2 or 3 hours now, because I'm actually trying to finish off the Order before I dive into this fully. So when I first got it, I played for about a half hour. Then I played for an hour at lunch. Then I played for an hour that night.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious here. Did you play you played all of the titles from From Software, right?
Yeah, I started off on Demon Souls, mm-hmm. which
Demon's Souls.
Yeah. And I went to and then got Dark Souls, and then got Dark Souls on the PC, then got Dark Souls 2, and now I'm just waiting for them to do like a definitive edition, kind of like what they did with Dark Souls 1 for the PC, and I'll get it on the PC, that one on the PC as well.
So in terms of like how punishing or how difficult and challenging the game is it like Dark Souls?
There are definitely aspects of it that are like Dark Souls. Obviously when you die, you lose all your echoes. But what I found is that the creature that killed you, if you die again, you know how usually in the Souls games, if you die while you're trying to go retrieve your souls, you lose those souls for good. Well, apparently, on this one, you can die if you die by another monster trying to retrieve your souls, the original monster that killed you still carries those souls. So if you can kind of, you have to try to remember what killed you and how it killed, like where it killed you. And so getting your echoes, aka souls, back is a little bit easier. You have health that you can easily replenish. The combat now, because they don't let you have shields, so they put a high emphasis on combat. So if you get hit by a monster and you can quickly hit them back within a couple seconds, you get a nice chunk of life back. So that aspect of it is definitely a little bit easier.
Wait a minute, is this like a counter move thing?
It's not really a, like, if you, because you can have two forms on your weapon, so you can have it be a short range, your melee weapon. You can either have it be a short range kind of weapon, or you can do the L1 and it will make it a long range, kind of like a pole arm, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a strong attack with your pole arm, you do like this a swing move, or where you spin in a circle and hits enemies twice. So what you do is you basically time that, so that way when they hit you, you've already charged up and you release it, and you'll hit the enemies back and get your life back. So it's not like a parry. Awesome. It's if they hit you, and you can hit them back right away. So it's definitely like that. I've ran into one boss. I can say the boss fights are still pretty good. I think it's because I've played Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2 so much that I've... It's definitely... It's still a punishing game, don't get me wrong. If you roll the wrong way, it's obviously your fault. And if you don't pay attention to your environment, because there are things that look like they're dead, and you kind of walk up to them, and they slowly start moving, and then you're like, oh, I got to kill this thing. The dogs and stuff come out of nowhere, will definitely jack you up. And when you... I've been watching one streamer go, and he's a really long way into it. And, yeah, it's definitely a From Software title.
Oh, well, that's good, at least. I mean, although I wouldn't... I still kind of have this feeling of... I don't quite understand why people keep watching like playthrough videos, unless you're like stuck at some part, right? And you want like a hint to get over the bit you're stuck at, right? So yeah. I can understand that, but I have like friends who seriously they watch streamers, they watch YouTubers, they watch playthrough videos before they've even played the game, and that kind of kills, you know, the thrill for me. I mean, I want to be surprised and you know do my I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about.
I'm with you 100%, Urash. I don't understand the streamers, but Chris watches streamers
all day,
all the time.
And so, actually, and before, like, if there's a game that I'm on the fence about, that's when I will watch a streamer play that game. And if I go, oh well, I'm going to buy this, I'll generally turn that streamer off and go watch something else.
Mm-hmm.
If I something like Bloodborne, I mean, I'm going to play through it a lot. I already knew I was going to enjoy it. So at this point, I'm kind of watching to get some tips and tricks. So
I see. Yeah. Well, okay. If you're looking to improve your gameplay, I mean, that's totally cool. But if you're looking for a different kind of experience, you know, it's a single-player game. You expect like to find something out about the world, the story. It kind of ruins the experience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like going nuts. You know, watching trailers or extended footage of the movie you're about to see. Yeah.
So.
But basically, okay. Yeah. I mean, I still am very excited about Bloodborne. Can't wait to try it out.
Here's my big question for you guys who enjoy these masochistic games, because they are masochistic. I actually really enjoyed watching my Twitter feed, especially the ones that started, I know this game is supposed to be hard, but. Well, yes, sweetie, it is. So, what is it about these games that you guys actually find fun? Because to me, the idea of something being unforgiving and that you make the tiny mistake, you will get killed or you will get severe damage and the potential to dying a lot does not sound like fun. So, what do you guys find fun about it?
You want to go first, Chris?
All right. To me, I like it because From Software has done a really good job at making it. If you screw, like, you'll be telling yourself, don't get greedy, and then you'll get greedy and die, and you're like, that's my fault. Or you'll roll the wrong way and you'll fall off a cliff. It's not like those games where they just make it, give a boss a billion hit points and you're just slogging through it and that you die because they just gave the boss a million hit points and you ran out of, you know, potions or something. If you die, it's your fault. I like that aspect. I really love it. Even you get to a boss and you're dying and you're ready to throw your controller and punch your screen and rip your console or computer out of the wall and just chuck it out. But then you're like, okay, you walk away, you come back, kind of refreshed, and then you just beat that boss and you're like, oh, well, that was easy. Oh, I feel so good. Like, you feel accomplished.
Yep, you've nailed it. No, seriously.
And there's a big risk versus reward on games like these. So if I'm walking around with 20,000 souls or echoes or whatever the currency is, there's that, okay, I can go do this one thing and I can get the extra souls I need so I can do all this leveling that I want to do. Or I can kind of keep going and let's see what happens, and then you'll keep going and then you die, and all of a sudden you've got this panic. There's this panic mode, and if you can get back and retrieve all the stuff that you just lost, again, it's just like that bot. You're like, whew, oh, thank God. Just it's a constant excitement level that constantly gets increased.
Yeah,
times where you get really irritated, and then there's that nervousness, and then you have like this big rush of, okay, I've done it, I'm good, I can go do another thing. And is the game, the thing I also like about these kind of games, especially, you know, the Souls series and this, is that the game doesn't hold your hand at all. It's up to you to explore and kind of figure things out, and as the world opens up, you're constantly just finding new areas, and you can kill the NPCs, you can let them live, just depends on what you want to do, and you get different gaming experiences depending on what you do. I mean, obviously, if you're playing through it on NG plus 7, you've already experienced everything there is, and you're just doing it to make it even harder on yourself, but it's nice in a world where most games now are holding your hand and guiding you along that there are still people that are like, nope, here's the game, go for it, figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, I mean, I don't want to sound like an old fart, but I mean, seriously, it's what most games lack these days. It's basically about, to me, everything Chris said I totally agree with it. So it kind of boils down to just perfecting your own style of play. Yep. So the more you play, you improve. And I mean, isn't it kind of like, you know, in real life, you need to work at any, you know, skill. So that's why it's more interesting. It feels like, it almost feels, you know, it feels more real than what Chris said most games do, which is hold your hand throughout the entire experience. So maybe in that sense, gaming has been kind of different lately. And that's why games like Bloodborne or Dark Souls or, I don't know, Ori, which has which is like more challenging than your average platformer, right? That's why those games get a higher rating, both from the public and from critics.
And it carries over even into the indie space, too, because if you look at, like you said, Ori had The Binding of Isaac. You had Super Meat Boy. I Want to Be the Bashi. I mean, all these games are punishingly hard until eventually you've improved yourself enough. Like, watching people play The Binding of Isaac, and that's a game, like, I enjoy it, but I can't even make it through to, like, the fourth level before I'm dead. And I'm watching guys just plow through it, and they make it look so easy, and you're just like, but you look at, they've been playing it for hundreds of hours, and they've mastered it, and they know all the intricacies of the games, and it's, you know.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, as for games like Super Meat Boy, though, I have to confess, I gave up. I don't know. I am aware that a friend of mine just beat the entire game, and he was like, you know, what you said, like, when you finish a game like that and invest so much time in it, when you actually complete the whole thing, it feels twice as rewarding, right? But I know there are people who, like, advanced their skills in playing so much that they actually finished Super Meat Boy with only one, without any loss of life, which is
ridiculous.
How? I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's because the whole game just, like, is about you moving a tiny little square that looks like a slab of meat, and then and then you have to pinpoint the exact pixel, right?
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, you have to be like a super organism or a robot to do that, right? That's Super Meat Boy is, yeah.
See, now I'm thinking of a new Twitch stream I could do. It's like, how fast Carrie Rage quits games. And
oh, I definitely subscribe to that. Like,
and then put Super Meat Boy and watch me jump and die first time. Like, no, that's it.
Although I have a
shortest stream ever.
That's what I was going to say.
I just would make it like a YouTube show that way, you know.
Yeah. It would be very, very short, though, so
then I might play Wally in the Blind Forest.
One of the things I remember while we're still talking about, like, those hard games is Ninja Gaiden 2, which was... I, like, finished that game, but the amount like of stress that came with that experience was just overwhelming. And that game actually cheated. I mean, not cheated in the like literal sense, but like it cheated in terms of if you die at a certain point, you have to go back and redo an entire section because the checkpoints suck. And that was the punishment. On top of the enemies being hard and bosses being hard.
I can admit, Ninja Gaiden was my first broken controller.
the original game?
The very first one.
yeah.
Because I got to I'd get to the third stage or something like that consistently, and then I would die, and it just got... Man.
It was an Xbox exclusive, wasn't it?
No. This is on the NES days.
Oh.
Back on the good old 8-bit Nintendo.
You actually broke an NES controller? You must have been mean.
When you basically grab it by the cord, you yank it out of your NES, you're careful not to break the NES, and then you basically just freaking do this number, where you're just smashing it on the floor. Oh, yeah. That controller stood no chance. And then I had to pick up all the parts and then go hide it. So that way my stepdad didn't realize that I had just broken a controller because I was like, oh, shit, how am I going to get a new one? I just told him that a friend had come over and he borrowed it and lost it. And that's how I got a new controller.
I love how in your story you had, you had the amount of restraint. I'm not gonna touch the console itself, but I can break this.
Oh yeah.
How old were you then?
Oh, I was 9, 10, something like that.
Awesome. I didn't actually play that one. I played the first one on the Xbox.
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of good punishing games. The Ninja Gaiden series has always been a pretty good punishing ones too. The Xbox, it's now on the Vita with the Sigma series.
Yeah, it was a great series until number 3 arrived.
Yeah.
I had no interest in playing that game for longer than a few hours. Yeah. So that was sad anyway.
Carrie, why don't you like these fun games?
Yeah.
Because I don't have patience for this shit. This is one reason why I don't play platformers, is because I just don't have the patience to learn how to jump this single jump. It's not fun to me. It frustrates me. It's one reason why I didn't really play that many games in the NES era. I was getting pissed off in Pillars of Eternity. And I was fighting this one boss for an hour, and now looking back on it, I was like, I made that so much harder on myself, and I'll explain that later. But just stuff like that to me is just, it's just not fun. And because I game, I like to relax and just kind of enjoy. I'm a story gamer and enjoy a story. So, you know, I'm not out there to make things the hardest on me ever. I rarely play a game on hard. I think I can count on one hand the amount of times that I have done it, and it was always co-op with other people, because at least then it was fun when we all died in stupid areas. But you know, by myself, it has just never been my thing. And I do rage quit very easily. It's why I never finished the first Darksiders.
So what I'm hearing is that you're the weird one here, not us. This is exactly what I'm hearing.
Admit I'm a big baby. I admit it.
No, we said weird, not a big baby. Yeah. Big babies are kind of cute and nice. You know? weird person. But it's nice to see you trying to weave your way out of this, because I think you do like challenging games. And
maybe
Pillars...
different challenge, I guess.
Yeah, well, of course, sure.
I don't think I play very many challenging games. I can't really think of any. I think Pillars is probably the most challenging game I've played in a long time.
Well, so. Come on. I mean, sorry, Chris. You did play Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
That was a challenging game.
Okay, I guess I just don't, well...
Mass Effect.
I guess I just don't consider it that challenging. Not that it wasn't hard, it just, I don't know, it didn't seem to bring on all, it's not a game I would consider, like, overly frustrating or that would bring on the rage quitting, like Demon Souls or Dark Souls or what was that game I played at E3 that immediately texted you, Chris? Lords of the Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that was hard?
It was, a Dark Souls game, and that you were punished for making a mistake,
mm-hmm.
but with the big hulking masses like Darksiders. And so I thought Chris would really enjoy it, and unfortunately, what I saw of the game was like the best part, because the rest of the game did not come out very well. It didn't do very well review-wise, and so Chris never played it, and it's probably for the best.
I didn't either, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll wait till it goes on a PS Plus thing or something.
Steam sale.
Yeah, Steam sales are a tricky one, though, because, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even Duke Nukem Forever is on my wish list, and it goes to $5, and I still can't force myself to buy it.
Did you guys see that like picture PC Gamer posted in a feature that was about Steam sales and all your like backlog? Like a huge picture. I don't know what the resolution was, but an insane amount of thumbnails or tiny like almost pixel-sized like pictures of games you're never going to play.
That would be our friend Blake, yep. Who his Steam account has 400 to 600 games, I think. And he's played like less than a third of them.
Yep.
That's something we make fun of him for often. I mean, and my Steam backlog, because I have fallen, because like maybe I've gotten like a Humble Bundle that's come with, you know, 10 games I know I'm never going to play. Like, I actually have Super Meat Boy because it came with a bundle for something else. Or, like, there was a Steam sale. I'm like, oh, well, that's just $1. And I've always, you know, I've been kind of interested in it, so I bought it. Well, I mean, my Steam backlog is much bigger than my physical backlog. But I know I'm never going to play those games, but they're there.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing this week, Carrie?
I have been playing a lot of Pillars of Eternity. After, oh my gosh, my PC woes.
PC Master Race. Ooh, yeah.
No. Okay, so
that was a privilege. Remember, that's what Ross says. It was a privilege.
It's a privilege. That's right. He doesn't have to buy the stuff he gets to. That's what he always says. Yep. So after, my deal with Homeworld, I wasn't able to play that because my PC didn't have a graphics card that could run the OpenGL version that it needed. Chris helped me find a new graphics card. We bought it. Wait till Sean was out of town. He came back in. He installed it. It worked for all of an hour. Played some Pillars, and then suddenly my motherboard was like, nope, we don't recognize this. So everything crashed. So Sean sat and operated on my computer for about 5-6 hours. And then he came downstairs and was like, babe, we got to call it. it's not happening. So I'm like, do I need to go buy a new motherboard? So we're looking up. He goes, you know, you can get a brand new PC with they'll run what you need for $300 at Best Buy. It's like a new motherboard will cost about $5. And I was like, okay.
So you guys definitely had that moment of time of death, right?
Yes. Yeah. So... went to Best Buy, and I got the PC, and I saw that it has HDMI ports on it. I was like, well, then I might as well get a new monitor, too. So I went and got a new HDMI monitor, because I got to have dual screens. And so, yeah, I figured, well, you know, I'm already going to get a little bit of debt. What's a little bit more?
So you just so given to the old temptation.
Oh, I'm a gadget junkie, like, hands down. So anyway, so we set it up, and you know, we let it run all night with all the updates it had to do for Windows 8 and the drivers and blah 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 blah. So it runs Pillars of Eternity just fine. So I started the game much later than I planned on, so I played a lot of it, and it is 100% harkens back to the isometric days of Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, all of that stuff, where, you know, the pause button is your only friend. The tutorials are kind of there, but not really. So I'm learning on the fly, like, you know, like I was telling Urash earlier this week, that I knew my wizard had these spells. I knew there had to be an easy access to get. I was like, how do I do this? I'm just like mashing all these buttons, and finally it pops up like, oh, press this. Like, oh, okay. But, you know, these are things that I think PC gamers already know inherently. Like they would already know that, you know, clicking on like some the numbers would bring up the quick menu and stuff.
Can I just interrupt you? I actually found just the opposite. I mean, there are always like hardcore PC gamers who know about like those, mm-hmm. you know, just the hotkeys and stuff and what you need to do. But I think that the real picture is that the forums are always filled with questions. How do I cast a spell?
Right.
Or, you know, how do I move my character? Mm-hmm. You know, so you'll always find people with such, you know, problem. Not everyone's a noob, and I think that the industry and kind of gaming has evolved a bit in that sense.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I'm playing, and I play for about, oh, I don't know, about maybe 5-6 hours, and I get to this one, and I got, you know, two people in my party, and because, well, the first hour can't count, because that's how long it took me to build my character. And, which to me, that's the mark of a good RPG right there. Well, because Chris, you laugh at me, so not only do you get all these race selections, and then you get the class selection, so I decided, so I pick elf. And then it's like, do you want to be a wood elf or a pale elf? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Okay, I guess I'll be a pale elf. So I'll pick pale elf. And then I pick paladin. It's like, well, what order of the paladin do you want to be? I'm like, oh my god.
Well, there's a reason why this game is 18 gigs for something that...
Yeah, so like... I'm going, you know, through the order of the paladin, and it's like, you know, what attacks do you want to be able to start with in your inventory, and, you know, get all that stuff set up, and then it's like, oh, then hair color, name, clothes, like, oh, this is taking me freaking forever. So, anyway, so I get to this one area, and I'm having the hardest time of my life defeating this one boss, and this is super early. I was like, I don't understand why I'm having such a hard time. Like, I'm doing what I think I can, you know, I know I'm not good at the, you know, pausing, getting the spells, organizing the party. I'm still learning with that. Well, it took me over an hour, and finally I beat him. I had to tell you what, that was satisfying, damn it. I was like, oh my god. Okay. But then, like, the next day I'm playing, I'm having an even worse time. Everything's just so hard. I'm so frustrated. And the only way you can heal yourself is by resting. So I was like, so you can't take potions to heal. And so I'm just getting overly frustrated, and I happened to read this one article that Kotaku wrote up where they're talking about how they're enjoying it, and I'm reading it, and they're like, well, by exploring, like, you know, before I even got to the first boss, I had 6 party members. I'm like, did? That would be so much easier. And so then I finally pull up my review guide that Paradox sent me, and it had in there, you do not level up, you do not gain experience by combat. It is all by exploration. I'm like, well, motherfucker, I was making this hard on myself. So now that I've totally taken a step back and I'm doing nothing but, you know, exploring and completing quests, which you sometimes do some combat on quests, but, you know, not a lot. And, you know, just by taking my time and talking to everybody, suddenly my party has leveled up and we get into an encounter because there are now 6 of us because I found everybody they were talking about. Because when you explore for Nook and Cranny, you find these people. And, you know, it's just flowing a little better. I mean, sure, there's some combat areas that you have to be, you know, even with 6 people, you're not leveled up high enough to defeat or whatever. I just don't have it down, the exact combination of attacks that we all need to do. And actually, the more people you get, the more chaotic I find it with space bar going, you do this, you do that, you go over here. Okay, you stupid wizard, why do you keep in the middle of the battle? Go over here. That's why I have you in the back of the formation. But I'm enjoying it so much more. And it's amazing to me, like, how much time flies. Like, last night, I swore I played for 1 hour. I know 4 hours had gone by, and I needed to go to bed. But I hadn't, and I have not progressed the story since that first boss fight, and I've played an extra 13 hours since then.
Lord.
Yeah.
Lord.
Those game unlocks in 27 minutes for me.
I love the fact that while you talk about this, you just keep highlighting your moments of frustration, right? But yeah. You simply cannot hide your smile. Like, I did have fun at the end.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, I think that genuinely it means they made a good game. Oh, by the way, how is it on the like technical side of things? I mean,
it's got some hiccups. Like, graphically, it's not that great because even when you do zoom down the isometric view, it's still like, okay, everyone, I still don't want to look at that, so I still do a really far up top down because it just kind of reminds me of the old Baldur's Gate. It's not mm-hmm. that beautiful, but the weirdest thing is sometimes one of my characters will just spaz out. Like, we'll be standing still, and you'll just see him just, like, running back and forth in place. Like, okay.
Like, he's your alter ego.
Huh?
He's your alter ego, right?
Oh, he's just, yeah. It's just, and it's a different character every single time. And
mm-hmm.
So, like, those are, like, some of the... Oh, and for some reason, the left clicks don't always enter, which is... really fun when that happens in battle, when you think that you've got a spell down and then you press spacebar to unpause and no, you sure don't. And then you're all done. So, like, technically, it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know to watch for that, I haven't had as many problems in combat.
I ask this for one reason only, because Obsidian has been known to screw games up pretty bad.
Now, I'm not seeing people fall through the world. I am not seeing heads
rotate. No, that's Ubisoft territory.
No, I'm not seeing, heads rotate around like what happened with Fallout New Vegas. I'm not seeing floating eyeballs on dogs. Wasn't that also Fallout New Vegas? Yeah.
Yeah.
But none of these things are game-breaking, They're annoying, but they're not. Oh, and the voice acting feels very phoned in.
Oh, that sucks, then.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the world itself, oh my gosh, I can't believe just how expansive it is and detailed it is and the history and the mythology behind it. And
that's kind of exactly the same... experience I've had with Divinity, Original mm-hmm. Sins, right? Everything was great. The world was huge. The gameplay was great, and you just get invested. But the story was shit, and the voiceovers were shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sensing that Pillars has a better story. I mean, according to what you've said,
it's very fascinating. And as a parent, it hits me right in the feels.
All the feels.
Yes. Because it's really about, one of the aspects about it is, like, this whole thing is about the idea of souls and being able to see souls when they've passed on, or souls in the person with their past lives. And there's this plague going on where these babies are born without souls, and they're called hollowborn. So it's these babies that live, but they're almost like vegetables. Like, they can move and everything, but there's no soul to them. And so people are killing these babies, and that just affects me unbelievably.
Wow, that's actually pretty dark synopsis.
Yeah, and so your goal is to kind of find out why this is happening and put a stop to it. That's, I think, mm-hmm. that is a goal. I don't know if it's the ultimate goal, but it is definitely to find, to stop this. Stop this whole thing, because there's this massive plague happening all across the world. And women are hiding their hollowborn babies because they don't want the leaders to come in and kill their babies. And
yeah. Chris Avellone, he has the gift.
Oh, yeah. Hey, no, I'm just going to sit down. find a pub. My game is going to be about 5 minutes.
You can do that. And Chris, there's a brothel.
Oh, well, I'm in.
And you can, men, women, I haven't found any women yet that we found in Dragon Age Origins, but,
Did you say there was a brothel?
Yes, there's a brothel.
Can you give me the exact address. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but
you will find it early on. And I got a pet dog. Game of the year, man. Game of the year. Oh. Got a pet dog. Follows me around. Every time combat happens, it goes and stands on the outside and just watches.
Can you give it a name?
No, I can't name it.
Oh, 7 out of 10.
It just says dog.
It's just, no, it says yellow dog. Come on.
Yeah. Ah, racism.
Because it's a yellow lab.
Okay. Still, I'm glad you're having fun.
All right, so what have y'all been playing? All right, let's go to Urash. What have you been playing?
Well...
I see Destiny on here. We just need to ignore that and move on.
That's not very
okay, if you want to talk about Destiny, can I have a banana first? Because I have this banana here. I'm hungry. I didn't get to have lunch yet. Can I?
I'm playing my tiny violins.
Oh, still. Okay, sorry. Destiny, yeah. Chris, do you play Destiny?
Not very often. I do it every once in a while when my brothers are on.
I mean, do you have, what level is your character?
Oh, he's level 20.
20.
Yeah. I don't even have their expansion, so.
Oh, well, me neither. But I still play it. I cannot explain why. I have a theory, which I've tried to like. I've tried to explain on Action Trip a lot. It has to do with very like well-optimized gameplay Bungie made, which is, of course, based on their Halo model, right? And I haven't been playing Halo ever, the multiplayer of it. I've just played the single player, and I really liked Halo. I think Carrie is on board with this one because she's a fan.
Yeah, but I don't play the multiplayer, so...
Oh, you didn't play the multiplayer. Well, even so, it's a very specific mechanic that is like Bungie's trademark. The AI is like almost identical to what the Covenant have, I think.
Oh, the AI moves the same way the Covenant does. That's one of the first things I noticed. Yeah.
And it's still one of the best AIs out there. I think I see why they don't want to change it, or they maybe just keep polishing it in some way. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that, quite frankly, I really don't want to play anything else other than Diablo. I'm not going to get into the whole thing about lack of story or content in Destiny. I mean,
I think you got it right with the Diablo comparison, because really, it's you're looking for loot that makes you stronger. So there's that constant RNG thing that you're always you're not fighting AI, you're fighting the RNG of the game.
Right. Yeah.
You do a raid, you're hoping that you get a Yaller horn or some epic piece of gear, and when it doesn't happen, you're like, well, son of a bitch, gotta do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have problems.
But actually, Destiny has very it has challenging bosses. The problem is, it's just too damn repetitive.
Because Diablo's not.
Well, yeah, that's the hence again the comparison between the two. You see, your dog even agrees. Birds and the bees know it.
Wow.
I think I at this stage I look on Destiny as a guilty pleasure.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know what else to say about it.
There you
I'm clearly alone in this.
That's okay. I'll have you meet Blake, and he can go on and on. Oh, it's the best game ever.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He thinks that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think that. I said it was a guilty pleasure. other than that, I've played Valiant Hearts for the first time. I still haven't finished it.
Which person I both love.
Yeah, I tried that. I didn't finish it, so no spoilers.
Nope, I won't spoil anything.
Yeah, I'm very I'm actually quite surprised with the whole format of the game, you know, mixed with historical facts that you can read about.
Yeah.
And how chilling and sad it is at the same time. It's very touching. And you don't even have dialogue in it.
Right, right.
You just have pictures and compositions and scenes that, you know, evoke certain, you know, emotions, which is, I don't think I've seen that a lot in games today.
There's this one scene, like, later in the game where there's, like, in one of the mustard gas attacks.
Yep, I've played
and, that. And you're in this house, and you hear a baby crying. And the whole time I'm like, oh, dear God, do not fucking kill the baby. Do not fucking kill the baby. I will quit this game. but you have that feeling of urgency of, you know, it paints it, the whole horrors of and the emotions of war, I think, better than most other war games. And I remember after, when I was playing it, I told John, I was like, you know, there's never been a World War I game before. He goes, because they're fucking depressing. And I was like, oh, how depressing can it be? And I forgot, like, you know, because it's been so long since I've studied World War I history, about the horrors of trench warfare. And I think that this illustrates how awful trench warfare was so well. Chris, do you agree with me? Or
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's still one of the best games I've played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was kind of a major switch between what I've been experiencing with Destiny. It was very refreshing. Mm. But what else? I've tried that thing, what's it called? The PS4 exclusive. The indie spy game, like... do you know what I mean, right? Cold is not Cold Spy, Cold something Spy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was free. It was free on PSN.
Yeah. See, I don't get every single PS Plus game.
Spy something. It was nice. I've been playing that a bit. And I'd like to talk about Reaper of Souls. Because I keep playing it with a bunch of friends, right? As I'm sure you do when you play Diablo, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we've been doing like greater rifts and stuff, and then we've reached almost Paragon level 300. And in the end, I just realized it was all about socializing for us. We just talk and like go through the motions. Nothing, you were clicking, nothing's happening. It's the same loot, same. Nothing changes. So then we dropped the stupid rift thing, for once, and then we went on seasonal mode, hardcore mode.
Mm-hmm.
So because we were squeamish, we went with hard difficulty, which is basically piss easy. And then we started to notice that we actually are having fun again because it increases the tension, right? You can lose your character forever.
Yep.
And we all switched classes. So I wasn't playing with the Crusader anymore. I tried the Demon Hunter. All these other people they switched to different classes as well, and it's so Diablo is fun again. Yay. So that's what I have to say on that front. So what about you, Chris? Are you still playing?
I was playing a seasonal character and got really disenchanted with it when that seasonal character went all of 2 months. And they were like, hey, we're done doing seasonals. We're going to start season 3. So I got a couple friends. That's all I would do. I'd jump on when my friends are playing, and we would do rifts. And, I mean, when you're doing a seasonal character, it's just kind of a race to get to Paragon 400. And if you're trying to climb ladders, obviously climb the ladders. But, yeah, it was... I had played it and then saw that they were ending the season, and then I was like, well, I guess I'll play something else.
Are you talking about they're ending season 2?
Yeah.
But they said that they... didn't they like issue a statement or a press release or something that your characters will be be preserved, right?
Right. What happens on if you create a seasonal character is that your seasonal character becomes a non-seasonal character, so it just moves into your like your normal character slot. So if you're playing a hardcore seasonal character, that moves into a hardcore just normal character, and then if you're playing a softcore seasonal character, that just moves into there. All of your money gets transferred into your non-seasonal character bank. All of your items that you've acquired from the season gets bumped into goes into the mail systems. That way you can transfer that into your stash. Those stay for 30 days. And then your Paragon experience is added to your non-seasonal Paragon experience, but it's not like if you had 400 Paragon and 200 on a non-season, it's not like you get 600 Paragon level now. What happens is it's basically like they're just going to use set amount of experience and then just kind of grow your Paragon levels at that kind of rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really, you don't lose anything. It just, your seasonal character becomes a non-seasonal. The kind of the reason why people do seasonal characters is because you get to experience all the new loot before it goes into the general game. So
yeah, that's true.
So yeah, you don't lose any of your seasonal stuff. It just, it's a little bit of work to get everything transferred back over. But, you know, it was like, they started the season. The first season went 3 months. This one went 2. So how long is season 3 going to go? I don't know.
So you have? Do you guys have a clan?
Yeah. It's a friend, and it's just a bunch of people from his work. And then we have some couple friends out on the West Coast that play with us as well too. So.
What's your clan's name?
Fuck it. It's I think it's like Teach You Respect or something like that. I don't even.
What?
I don't even.
Okay.
Know.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
I'm. Do you know what ours is called?
No. What is yours called?
The Knit Picky Pack. That was my call. Yeah, we were laughing like 20 minutes after I uttered those words, and we're like, "Yep, that's a keeper." But yeah, because we've never like tried anything different. I mean, we haven't tried the season when we switched to that and hardcore. So it got a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my 2 cents on Reaper of Souls. I'm actually looking forward to the patch because, they're going to bring some new stuff in.
Yep.
And I think it's in, I don't know if it's in PTR or...
Yeah, it's in PTR right now.
Mm.
So. Anything else you've been playing?
Well, I did play Ori when I reviewed it. So that was nice. I would still recommend that game. Like, I just recommended it to a colleague here at the office who's, he's just like basically he's a designer. He doesn't, he doesn't know about games a lot. And he's like, well, can you recommend something? I'm like, yeah, you're a designer, you know, you're an animator and stuff, you should really see this game. I mean, it's like an achievement in that sense. If nothing else. And it was like totally surprised when he said that he even enjoyed the challenging aspect of it.
Oh.
So yeah, Ori I think is like it was a surprisingly good experience.
Nice.
And I just didn't have enough time to go into Homeworld. I played the first one, not all the way through, and I wanted to play the sequel, which is in the whole collection thing. What's the remastered collection? Blah blah blah. And that was also kind of nice because it's I don't know if there are any real-time strategies, especially those that have like space fleets and all that. It's a good game, definitely. And that's basically it.
All right.
Yeah, I showed Chris your video of you playing Ori.
The eye roll.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I actually wanted to make some sort of like video where I show a bit of footage and then me playing it or something, and then I realized that, you know what? People should just see me being frustrated as I play this, and it shouldn't last longer than 30 seconds. So basically, yeah, that's what I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it worked. Yeah, I'm really hoping that we could like build up our YouTube channel. I've actually been getting contacts from other YouTubers who do playthroughs. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see that it's growing a bit, you know.
All right.
And what have you been playing other than Bloodborne?
Still doing all the mining in Elite Dangerous. Just touched on the D3. I am working through the Order. I think I'm in Chapter 10 now. I kind of gave up because some chapters seem really long and other chapters were like, hey, you're going to walk from this door to this door, and that's the chapter. Congratulations.
Well, wait till you get to about Chapter 12. I think 12, 13, and 14 are all cutscenes.
See, I don't know. Why even call? I don't know. I really dig it. I really like the setting.
Yeah,
that whole London steampunk. The game looks gorgeous. You have to really pay attention because sometimes, like you said, the cutscene will end and then your dude is just standing there like, okay, what the fuck are we going to do? Come on, let's do something.
You hit that face like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm finding the weird, difficult, like, this quick time event is going to be stupidly hard, and then we're just going to spring it on you, and then there's other times where we're like, okay, I know there's going to be a QTE coming up. Okay, I got this. Yep, and then you're done. So, I don't know. It's so... Yeah. Like you had mentioned before, this game just needs something else. It needs a comic book or
It needs another 6 hours, because you probably are getting through the story that it is missing information. Yeah, you know, it's missing some gameplay. And stop smiling so evilly over there, Rudosh.
I just love watching you like squirm and trying to think of something nice just to say. I mean, I know that like everybody.
I try to say things nice because this game broke my heart, and it's. I really expected a lot out of it, and there's some parts of it that I think are really good, and there's just not enough of those parts.
Yeah, I don't... I was really enjoying it up to the point that... I think it was the one where after the one guy dies on the blimp, and mm-hmm. like it starts a new chapter, and you're all sitting around the round table, and you do nothing other than watch people talk, and then it was yep. like, here's the next chapter, and I was like, oh, wait, what? I didn't do shit. All I did was walk. And you're yep. calling that a chapter? Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Just yeah.
So according to this game's standards, that qualifies as a chapter. Well, that's... Well,
I mean, I just said that there are three chapters where they're just cutscenes. You don't even walk. They are just cutscenes.
I love the bit in the Honest Game trailer where they say, like, and the game is about looking at stuff, and then
approaching looking at things, yeah. rotating things, looking at the back of things.
Looking yes. at things again.
And so, it is,
those guys just, like, go straight to the heart of the, you know, matter. So... Yeah,
so I'm still slogging through that. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I'll finish it up this weekend.
The werewolf fights are fucking terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Terrible is as in like terrible, or
as in worst mechanics ever.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything good about this game?
It looks great.
It's beautiful.
It looks amazing.
And the soundtrack is fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to justify your score?
I think my score was low.
What was it again?
It was a 6.
Oh, okay then.
Because I mean, I gave Depression Quest a 5, and this beats Depression Quest out of the water. Just,
you know, I just give Depression 7. Quest. I'd give Depression Quest a 5 automatically just because of the name.
But I mean, I can't. I mean, just looking at like what we call things, I mean, it is, a 4 is, I think it's tolerable, and a 5 is like what, like okay? And to me, the way I describe the, and I gave it a 6, so, because it is better than average. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good game, it's not a very good game or a great game.
I definitely wouldn't pay $60 for this.
For what?
For the order.
No.
I would not pay full retail. In fact, I would probably... I kind of almost feel like maybe the $30-ish range, I think it's a little... You get a lot more value out of it than $20, I would say, but not much more than $30. So.
How much was the collector's edition?
Shut up. This does not even go there.
Yeah, let's see.
It's just a question, Jesus.
Off of been playing some Bloodborne, and I jumped on GTA, Grand Theft Auto 5, this weekend, and did try to do some heists with my brother. We did the first two because you only needed 2 people, so we did the first two. That was pretty fun. Then we tried to join up with another group of people and try to do a 4-person heist, and that ended very badly. So
were those heists, like, fun?
It's a lot of work. It seems like it's... I mean, it's cool because you have to do the whole... There's all this planning, and you have to do all the scouting and all that other kind of stuff, and then you actually pull off the heist. But it just seems so long to do stuff. It took us, I don't know, 45 minutes to do a couple of them, and then my brother got on the next day, and he was doing a heist with somebody, and he said it took them about an hour and 45 minutes, something like that, to do one. And I mean, he made a decent amount of money out of it, but I was like, you're doing this for over an hour just to do something like that? I'd rather just do the missions that they have kind of scattered about the world versus doing a heist. So I mean, if you have 4 friends and everybody kind of like, you know, doing a Diablo 3 thing where everybody's kind of talking and having fun, I can see where that would be fun, and you're going to invest some time in it. But if you're going to do a heist and you're going to do it with 4 people, you better make sure that you know who you're playing with, because those go down so bad. And it sucks because if you fail the heist, right, the person that starts off, like, there's an organizer, so they have to buy into this heist, so they basically fork over a bunch of money so that way you can start the heist, and then everybody else kind of gets a little bit of money along the way, and then the guy that, if you complete the heist, the original person that started it gets a big chunk of money at the end, but they're not making any money along the way, so it's, I don't know, and if the game freezes up and screws up, which we still have that happening, where it just hangs in the load screens, and loading times are already terrible as it is, so you're sitting there going, okay, is the game just loading, or is the game actually frozen now? So, I mean, it's fun to, because we get on, we do like a party chat, and we'll just talk and have fun, and we make fun of the game, because it's so glitched out at times. Like, we went golfing, and we would be squatting on the golf course. So it looks like we're trying to take a shit on the golf course, and our golf clubs are in the world, and so, you know, we basically just we drink while we're playing and just have a good time, and he tries to be all serious, and I'm the one that's like, I'll be in his car, and I just start shooting things. he'll come to pick me up, and I'll already have three stars, so and he has no idea.
You basically like have one guy who's serious about everything, and you're going all Leroy Jenkins on him.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I load up that game, that's what I should do, is when he gets on the party chat, just be like, okay, Jake, Leroy Jenkins!
And,
just...
and you're driving your car. And to be fair, I mean, I don't think, I mean, very rarely we play without drinking.
Bad day. I mean, it's gaming, right? It's kind of in the rule book, isn't it? If you're going to play a video game, it's time to drink.
Oh, actually, I tell a lie, because quite often I drink coffee instead of... I just like to, you know, concentrate, because when I'm, for instance, in Diablo, when I'm, like, concentrating, I have to concentrate on building up my character. I want to have a really good character build. And if you're... Okay, Carrie's muted. And she's unmuted, and she's muted. What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Sorry. Anyway, where the hell was I? Oh, yeah. So
coffee.
Basically, yeah, drinking coffee and building up my character. And that requires concentration. And if you're basically, you know, half drunk, you just... Blah, 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 blah.
So, I have no idea what you mean. I have never destroyed legendary items by mistake.
Jesus, that happened to me. I just salvaged right one of my character's set pieces, which was like where is it? Why is my character so crappy? Why have my stats gone all the way down? What the hell is happening? And I was like, we were actually going to do a serious, like, very tough boss fight or something. And everybody was like, ready. What the hell are you doing, man? I've lost my... I've just salvaged my boots or something that are part of my set. And everybody was like, there was like a second of silence, and everyone was like, you stupid bastard. That was a fun moment, yeah. And I still didn't retrieve that. I'm sort of like farming for that stupid set piece, which I already had. And yeah, that's me. So those heists can... what you said about it, like, it reminded me of Evolve, in the sense that you really have to take care who you choose for your for people to play with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, if you're going to do the heist, definitely get four friends together, because it will definitely make things a lot easier. And if you're all chatting, it will be a lot more fun than just, like you said, with Evolve, if you get dumped into a four-person group and nobody's talking and you got that one idiot that likes to shoot people, pedestrians, while you're on your mission and call the cops, you know, you kind of want to get rid of them. So you can definitely tell that this is geared for having actual four friends play versus the other missions where you can kind of just drop in and out of other people's games and just call it a day. So,
right.
And be prepared to dedicate a nice chunk of time to actually starting, executing, and completing the heist. So, that's what I got.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, take us out of here.
It's out here. Okay, I was actually writing a news article. I think that's why it was going back and forth on mute or time I typed.
Oh, that's the whole, yeah.
Yeah, so, see how dedicated I am to my job, Udrash? I am writing news while we are podcasting, mainly because you guys are boring me, because it's your Diablo talk.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Okay, well, this has been the Baker's Dozen edition of the SGR Coffee Break. I am really upset I forgot the donuts.
I am too. And we made a point to be like...
I know. Although it's probably good because now I've missed yoga class because yoga started 6 minutes ago, so I couldn't work off the donuts, so it's probably a good thing.
Okay, so, we can actually prolong this then.
No, because I know you want to go home because it's 6 hours ahead of time. And Rushland. All right, so this has been another wonderful episode of the SGR Coffee Break with our special guest, Editor-in-Chief of Action Trip, Udrash Pavlovich. We thank him so much for staying at work late and hanging out and talking with us. I'd been wanting him to meet Chris for a while because I knew that they would have a lot in common with their Diablo 3 and Bloodborne.
Because we like good games. I mean, that's what I've gathered from this. We both like good games, apparently.
Hey, Udrash told me I'm officially a credible gamer this week because I said I like Pillars of Eternity. So there.
But in a sense, you're basically just taking your first steps.
Oh, Jesus, I can't make anybody happy. Anyway, you can leave a comment on this post if you have any topics you'd like us to talk about. You can email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com with any questions. You can check out our other podcast, which is The Evil Cast at Games Are Evil. The very last episode is going to be recorded tonight. It is over. We are done. We are moving on. Will Blake cry?
He will.
Probably. Will Chris be drunk? Yes.
Yes.
Will Ross drink some sorority girl drink? Yes.
Probably.
I've already heard guava juice and blueberry vodka being thrown out there today, so yeah. All right, you can follow each of us on Twitter. At Starvin is Chris, and I am at Crunchy Chocobo. The SGR's Twitter is at Strategy Reviews. Urash is at Ure Vader, U-R-E-V-A-D-E-R. And then you can also follow Action Trip at @action_trip. And, of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR and, of course, Action Trip. They're having news problems lately in Action Trip, but that's not our fault. There's just not a goddamn thing happening. Two racing games were announced today, and now I'm writing up
That's the biggest news in the last, month.
And I'm writing up a news article about how Liu Kang has been confirmed for Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah, because I think we all knew that Liu Kang was going to be in...
But now it's officially confirmed he's in a trailer.
Officially announced and confirmed. Yes. Totally official. We're going official.
The news is, okay?
I'll
do what I can, man.
All right.
All right, so see y'all next time.
All right. Okay.
Later.